Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 76 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are going on, to meet the people that make theater happen. I'd like to say a thank you to all of our recent subscribers to the podcast. I hope you are enjoying it, and there are plenty of past episodes to listen to, so happy binging. And if any listeners haven't done it yet, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review this podcast. I know that all podcasters out there will ask you to do it, and so will I now, because it really does help get this podcast out there to people who may not know that we're here. So please do that if you can take a minute or two, and I thank you all in advance. Now for this week's podcast. I had the absolute pleasure of watching the brothers' size at the Young Vic a few days ago, and I was completely blown away. You may have heard me say this about other productions, and because it's true, I just have to say that there's such a good thing going on now in London theater. The theater landscape here is just—it's better than I have known it. And the brother size is another compliment to what is a world-leading industry, not just here in the West End, but the Fringe, regional theaters, you know, all the theater festivals and beyond. I'm just so happy to be part of it, and it's a brilliant time to be in London theater. So Jonathan Ajayi, Sope Durisu, and Anthony Welsh, and I hope I haven't murdered those names, made up the brilliant onstage company, along with Manuel Pinheiro, playing live music while the action takes place, at the Brother Size at the Young Vic. And, you know, the four of those guys made award-winning playwright Terrell Alvin McCraney's script just dance. I have to say that the audience's reaction at the end of the play was electrifying. I have chill bumps thinking about it. And the standing ovation that they got that night was truly earned and deserved. I got to speak to Anthony Welsh, who plays the non-brother Alegba, about his journey with this play. Now, it's a play he's completely familiar with, having performed it 10 years ago. And it was interesting to see how he approached it with a decade's worth of experience under his belt. Have a listen. I want to start just because I want to reflect on what we saw last night. And what I saw last night was like, here's the honest truth, man. I got on the wrong train because I was thinking about the show. And I ended up taking a wrong train because I I was going through my head and I was having to tweet out about how much I loved it. And just, you know, I heard a train come, I stepped on, didn't look at where it was going, and then I find myself catching a bus home.
I'll take that as a compliment. I apologize, but I take that as a compliment.
But what it is like the energy on stage, man. It's a 90-minute. I mean, you guys are fit anyway. You're physically fit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been in shows where it feels like a workout, but there is not, it's like nonstop, man. And I know you leave the stage and everyone leaves the stage and come out,
but
when you come on, the problem is, it's not a problem. The fact of the situation is that when you walk on, you're walking onto a situation that is high intensity is. You don't get a chance to ramp it up. You step in, and everybody steps in. So, you know, getting into rehearsals like that first day, you know, and you were told this is what it's going to be. First of all, it's in the round, no hiding, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, how soon was it that you realized this is going to be a workout? This is going to be, you know, a real marathon.
Well, this time round, I had the luxury of knowing what it was because I did it 10 years ago. So I did the second version of this play in 2008. It was on in 2007. That was its premiere.
Yeah.
Then I joined it in 2008. And then I was lucky enough 10 years later to the show you came to to do it again. So this time round, I knew what it was. But after 10 years, you do kind of forget things. You think you know it all in your head and you're like, oh yeah, we did this. But I tell you, the time when you realize like how much of a how much stamina you need is, do you remember the section when we're chasing each other around the circle? Yeah. We did that just time and time and time again, trying to get it right, trying to get it right, trying to get it right.
Yeah.
And after about, you know, three times of doing that, and you just go, oh, this is a workout.
Yeah.
This is really, I have to make sure I'm stretched, I have to make sure I'm warm. And it's really well observed what you said about, and I appreciate you saying this, was that I get the most rest time, but then my challenge, you know, the other two have their challenges, but my challenge is to come and meet them after having 10 minutes off and coming back to that energy every single time,
yeah.
not getting too cool when I'm off stage.
Yeah.
So I have to come off and then come on and do that.
Yeah.
The step around.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think rehearsing that was when I realized, okay, let me stretch this knee out. It's 10 years older now. Let me make sure it's in good shape. So yeah, I think that's when it was.
That's cool to be able to revisit a part. I mean, I've been in a transfer, you know, where there's been a year in between doing it in the Fringe and then going to the National, but so you kind of, it's a real excitement about getting to revisit a part, but 10 years is a nice chunk of time. Did you approach the character any differently, or obviously 10 years, you experience a lot, life experience that you can bring to a role, man.
Yeah.
That's like a gift.
I hope so. And I hope I did approach it differently. I mean, I'm, like you said, I'm 10 years older. I have more experiences. I hope I'm a better actor. I hope Bijan and, you know, Aline and everybody, the whole team, because a lot of the team came back too.
Mm.
We're all just more proficient and better at our jobs. And we investigate further. And, and Bijan really wasn't like just trying to remount. He wanted to re-explore.
Yeah.
And gave us the freedom. And, of course, the other two guys, the freedom within the structure, because we kind of know what it is, but still trying to discover stuff. So I was really excited. I came in thinking, oh yeah, I know this part. It's going to be, I didn't say it's going to be easy, but I thought it'd be easier to slip back into it because I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And then I was like, the more days that went by, I just thought, oh, I don't think I know what this is actually. Mm. And I need to just investigate, like, it's a brand new script.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, brand new journey, man. Because you could...
Even the accent slipped. So I've been saying these lines for years because it's one of my favourite plays. It's the first play I ever did. It's very close to my heart. Yeah. It did so well the first time around. So I've been saying this stuff and singing the songs for years, for 10 years. And so when I came back, I didn't realise that my accent was doing weird things. And when we were singing the song in the step stuff, they changed my part. So it took me ages to stop singing what I've been singing for 10 years and come into the new... And then Mike Henry, our musical director, he said, oh, I'm so sorry for changing. I said, no, this is great because it means I have to rethink everything. Yeah. It's not just like, let me do what I did before.
Yeah, complacency is like, you know, kills creativity. Like you can be complacent, but then what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, and as for the accents, man, I mean, I'm not here like blur sunshine, but it's one of my bugbears. Like I'm American and I come and see... You know, I come and see some shows. And I'm
where are you from?
Well, Florida.
Right.
You know, but deep south. I mean, when I say Florida, it's on the edge of Alabama. Like, Mobile is the next next city over.
Okay.
And my wife is always like, she's like, was it an American play? It's like, yeah. She said, so what were the accents? And I was like, could not fault him. I said, it was just like being back at home. And she just went, man. Oh, that's high praise. So she'll listen to this and she'll know I'm not lying.
Okay.
But that was really good. It took me right back home, man. It was pretty cool. Like
to be able to do that. Thank you so much.
It was very cool. But let's kind of fast forward 10 years and that first day of rehearsals and gelling with a company. You know, it's gotta be super tight. You know, I love that first day of rehearsal, that first week of rehearsals and how quickly things you tend to kind of get tight. And was it like straight off the bat, read through, like, oh, this is going to work, this is going to be fun, and we are a team or a unit?
Yeah, I like to approach every single play I'm in with that mentality and just be like, you know, everyone's a blank canvas and I want everyone to win and I want us all to gel. But you can't force it. You have to sort of let it grow organically. And what the difference was on this one for me was I've got two new actors who I have to... I think I had to be wary of the things that I might say, you know, just by going, well, last time we did, you know, just that stuff that you're being innocent about, but could actually make them feel like, yeah, but I don't want to do what I did last time. So that was my challenge, to just let them do what they had to do and support and embrace and all that kind of stuff. But the first day, I should give it context. So Bijan, I just did a show, Barbershop Chronicles at the National Theatre.
That was great, man.
Thank you. You saw that too?
Yeah.
Oh, man, awesome.
Wicked. Good stuff.
So I was still performing that when we were rehearsing this during the day. And as you know, that play is all about sort of audience interaction. It's really high energy, and that filtered into the backstage area, so all of us were always just joking and laughing, and you know, it was always high energy, right? And so I came into this rehearsals almost with that energy, and then I went, oh no, it's first day, okay, I can't be that overbearing actor who's just like, hey guys, you know. So it was I could feel the nerves, and then I started to get nerves, and I was like, I wasn't expecting to be nervous, and you know, all that stuff. But we gelled, man. We had to do everything on the first day. We sang, we did movement, we read through the play, we did everything on the first day, I think. And it was just like, oh yeah, there was a lot to do, a lot to cover. And we only had in total about 21 days.
Insane.
And Bijan asked us to be off book before rehearsals, and we tried our best to. And to be fair, I don't speak the most. It's the other brothers that speak the most, so they had a tough job.
I find, maybe it's me, it's just the way I work, but I'm never off book the first day of rehearsals, but I have to have that thing that I don't know, grounding myself. Maybe it's lazy. Maybe I'm admitting something here, but I put it down very quickly. I may not even look at it, but having it in my hand to be able to just kind of go
comfort.
There it is.
Yeah, I learn by doing as well.
Yeah, so that's my. That's
I can look at it and go, I know the lines. But as soon as you ask me to step on stage and do it, I'm like, oh, what is it?
Yeah.
But I associate the lines and the words to what it is I'm actually doing and trying to get out of.
Yeah, the intent, the movement. You just talk about movement. I apologize. Who is the movement director?
Aileen David. She is the most. I don't know. She's the unsung hero of this play. She is so amazing at her job.
Because straight in with the movement, like straight on the ground, rolling around, doing things and. There's so much movement in this play. It has to be in the round anyway. When you're in the round, you got to be able to move and let everyone see it.
Yeah.
Like, I was really, really impressed with the movement and how it, you know, it's great to be able to have the script to take away and look at, you know, because it's very light on the stage directions, you know? It really is light. So the movement is just another interpretation of the script. And it was... very deliberate. And I mean, how long did you get with it? Like, because there was so much movement in.
There's loads. She would be in at least half to just over half of the week, and then sometimes we'd have days where it was dedicated to just movement, because it's just as integral to the play as the language is. But what's brilliant about what she does is she doesn't put impose movements onto you. It comes from the language. And it's really astonishing how she does it, because she's not her first language is French.
Oh right.
So I said this is a second language. So she's listening to an American accent and then still grasping what we're doing, what we're trying to get from each other, and the characteristics of our individual characters, and then somehow able to go, because you're like this, you can do this, you can afford to do that. And because it's a bigger space, the last time we did it was in a smaller space, and it toured in smaller spaces. This had its challenges too. Yeah. So she was always trying to find ways to make it available to you know, people up in the. I don't know,
cheap seats, they call
in the cheap seats,
not what I call
but
it,
but just as
it,
valuable seats,
exactly.
Yeah,
no, in the gods, whatever you want to call it. But go in there, like, how did you have to approach it? Technically, did you have to approach it any differently as a practitioner theater, just coming as if you're in a smaller space, there are things that you can do that are going to register, you know, but if you're in a bigger space. You know, were there any approaches? And I suppose you got the director and you've got movement director.
Yeah,
you know, just kind of help out.
It's such a good question, because I felt like, okay, bigger space, I need to be bigger.
Yeah.
I need to be louder and I need to be bigger.
Oh my God. Right. I got no problem doing that.
Right, yeah. I can do that. Just got warm up and go for it, right? And so I say more so me, I went for it in the first couple of runs. And the note actually that came back was from Bijan, Aileen and Michaela, was like, the space is set up in such a way where you can see a lot. I don't know where you were sat, but you can see so much more than I thought you could, and you can hear us so much more than I thought you could. So my note was like, you can afford to bring it back. You don't have to be as loud, and we'll read details, because there's no set.
Yeah.
So it's just our bodies that are kind of the set, and we have Manuel, our musician, amazing musician.
Yeah.
So these little things we do, like head movements, and you know, we give a stage direction, it's just the head.
I know,
you know, that kind of stuff. And but it reads.
Yeah, it totally reads. I mean, it really supports your character, being able to come in and not be as loud. I mean, the intensity is there. and the intent, but being able to rein it in, because you come in, every time you came in, man, I was like, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? How's he going to fuck this up?
You know, that's good.
Do you know what I mean? This is going well. Like, oh. But it's great. Like, yeah. It's great to be able to do that. Live music on stage. I've never, like, it's more than just music. Like, he's able to punctuate little moments of those stage directions as well.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, I'm just commenting on how much I liked it. I mean, the stage directions were awesome. Because I thought, how are they going to interpret that one? You know, you set it up very quickly, and then you go, you hear the stage direction, you know, smile sweetly, and you want to see what that smile is like, and then it lands, and I thought, oh, it's really lapping it up, man.
I know, it's crazy. It's amazing to play with. I've always liked narration when it's done well, I suppose, and the stage directions are a kind of narration, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much, but there's something really playful about it, where you go, okay, I'm going to do this now, guys, and then you do it. And I just find that I get so much enjoyment out of doing that. Like, my first line is, Elegba enters, drifting like the moon.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know? And then you kind of I imagine you look at me and go, oh, I guess he is drifting like the moon. And then all you need to know is there's something odd about him. There's something a bit odd. Don't know what it is, but...
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, good stuff. You have a fantastic CV, man. You get to do a lot of stuff, you know, film, TV, theater, and, you know. But what is it? I love to ask this question. What is it about theater that brings you back? Because, I mean, I have to do it.
Maybe I know it's really... I think it's really scary.
Yeah.
I think theater is really scary. And I feel as though every time I've done it, I've become a better actor because I've conquered some kind of fear, or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
I get really scared before the thought of going, I'm going to do another play. Okay. And, you know, weirdly, I was sort of... I did Barbershop, and I hadn't done a play for maybe 2 years, 2.5 years even, which is the longest run I've had not doing a play. And I was like, can I do it? I don't know if I can do it. It's been so long. Can I do this again? You know, and I think I just have to do it to know that I can still do it.
Yeah.
And I've always... Yeah, like, I think I've just repeated myself now, but I think it makes me a better actor.
I guess there's muscles there, whatever, that we have to use that you don't use on filming. You know, you kind of find when you get to do it over, you know, at the end of the take, you get to say, just one more time for me, right? And, you know, and it's different, you know. There is something magical about that, you know. But I totally get you about, like, I'll sit in the wings before I go on stage going, why the hell did I ever decide that this was a good idea?
And you know that feeling right there? That's the feeling I want the most. I know this sounds really weird, right? But the feeling when you're doing your first preview, you've got your first audience, and you're backstage and it's dark and everyone's feeling that pressure and they're a bit quiet and a little bit more, or not even quiet, inside you're going crazy, so you're just trying to shake it off or whatever it is. That feeling right there, which I hate in the moment.
Yeah.
I hate it in the moment, but when I think about doing it again, I go, yeah, I want that again. It's so weird.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy.
It's so weird.
We're a weird bunch.
Yeah.
We're a weird bunch. And the last thing I'll ask you is, you know, this is a really special show, man. I think, you know, the reaction of the audience last night, it just tells me they couldn't wait to applaud.
Mm.
Like, as soon as end of play was said, like, just before the lights went out, it was like the screaming was incredible. It's one of the best reactions I've kind of been, you know, privileged to witness and be part of. And I don't know if you notice this, but there's like the people around me, there were a couple of people like, oh, like there was an audible
reaction. I've heard it a couple
reaction.
Of times. I'm like, oh, I think that's a really good...
How good is that? Right?
Yeah, it's a really good feeling. You're like, oh, they were with us. I don't know, it's that feeling. They were with us the whole way.
Yeah. So that was a long preamble to a question of like, actually, what are you going to take away from this, man? We always take away something when we do a show. You know, there's something I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bank that. You know, but because it's so this has been so well received, and that's not why we do it, but because you can tell it's a special show. But you know, what's the thing that you'll kind of take away and go, yeah?
I do feel incredibly privileged to be in this play.
Whenever
we come out for the applause, I was talking to my friend about this the other day, and it's so high energy and so like, oh my gosh, I always feel like, oh, am I in this? I feel like I'm not in it because it's such a, I don't know, it feels a bit out of body. And I'm also aware of how many people it took. I know there's three men on stage, or four including Manuel, but I'm like, it took so many people for this to be possible.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sharing a tiny part of it, you know. So I almost pinch myself every night, like, this is amazing. I don't know what I'm going to take from it. I don't know, and I think that's okay to not know what I'm going to take from
it.
But,
absolutely.
I just want to appreciate this experience as much as possible. The Young Vic's one of my favourite theatres in the world. And I think what David Land's done with it is amazing. I'm going to be sad to see him go, but obviously looking forward to the future with Kwame.
Yeah.
And so I just want to like really enjoy what it is right now. I've always wanted to be in the main house.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a few plays, lucky enough to do a few plays here, but not in the main house. I get to do one of my favourite plays ever, written by an amazing playwright, Terrell Avon McCraney. Bijan. It's like when I just think about everybody involved and what this is, and then the response it gets.
Yeah.
So often, when we do what we do, we work incredibly hard to bring these stories to life, right? And you don't always get the response. You don't always get this response. Sometimes it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I've really put so much into this, and
yeah.
And it's just okay. It's just okay. People are enjoying it for what it is. This is like, it feels different, and I guess I just want to enjoy that for what it is, and then see where it leads. Not without too much expectation, you know.
Bam.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Thank you, man.
Nancy, thanks, dude.
Anthony Welsh there, who can currently be seen on stage as Elegba in The Brother Size at the Young Vic here in London. Now, before we wrap up, I'd like to say if you are a theater professional and want to join the network built by theater professionals for theater professionals, a network that grows every day, then head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free Curtain Call account with just an email address, create a password, and off you go. Build out your profile and start connecting to the rest of the theater industry today. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. We'd love to hear you, or we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to hear you as well. But we'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. You can get in touch with me on any social media platforms, or write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com. That's John with an H. It leaves me to say a huge thank you to Anthony Welsh and the entire company of The Brother Size. What a show. Grab a ticket if you can, wait for returns, do whatever you got to do, but go see the show at the Young Vic before it closes on the 14th of February. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.